columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Can we be there?
Ah, we are here.
Think of the time.
You don't have to think about it. It's right here. It's right now.
Love so strange. Said you now, no.
Your favorite midday show. The reigning and defending champions of this time slot. How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
Wow, what an intro. Feel like I was in the room with you right there. Woo!
I almost went full blown. Like,
you representing the Rockies today or what?
I am representing the Rockies today. How do you know that?
Man, you know, I got people.
I got my Rockies dry fit on and my lucky Father's Day Rockies hat that I got last year on my very first Father's Day. They were giving them out for like first 10,000 people or whatever. And
your hair's a mess too, I see.
What is he here? Where are you, dude? Are you here? Oh, he is here! He's back!
I'm back, baby!
He's back!
Yes!
So I guess this does deserve an individual introduction.
And your hair does look messy, of course.
Woo, baby!
There it goes. Shake it out.
And defending two-time Super Bowl champion, former 1,000-yard receiver, Brandon Stokely!
That was good stuff, man. What is going on?
Dude, you're back.
I came in today, so I can't believe you didn't see me.
I got to close these blinds because I can barely see in there, dude, because
came in, so just to break it down real quick, I had to come in. I was getting my hair cut right by here. I had to come in to do some spots and stuff, and so Raj was telling me, hey, you can do it from the studio today if you want. In a separate studio. So I was like, I'll be here. Let me see. And then we said, we'll surprise Zach. Okay. So I got here early. I was here 11:15.
Oh, whoa.
Did some stuff, right? And we planned on you coming in like you always do at 11:58, 9 and 30, just something like that. But of course you rolled in at like 48.
Yeah, I rolled in early.
And I was in here when you were talking to Steven, and I was putting up the picture, and I was in the studio, and I had to jump behind that wall right there, and I could have swore that you heard us talking.
Oh, not even a little bit.
Unbelievable.
Can you kill those lights too, Parker, please?
And thank you.
I can see you now.
And then you walked in the studio, and I was hanging behind this wall right here, and so I had to bear crawl out of the studio so you wouldn't see me and stay in the back by the sales department.
Oh my God.
The last 12, 13 minutes.
That is hilarious. Steven, did you know this? Oh my goodness.
Of course
you did. That is hilarious. So no, I had no idea. I didn't catch any wind of this. You have not been here since, gosh, maybe I'll say March 15th.
It's been a while. I mean, feels good to be back. See the guys.
Yeah.
Not as many people in here as normal, but still, it's always good to be back in the office.
Cheers,
seeing
man.
The guys. Are you supposed to have, when do they allow like coffee without a lid on it in the office? Raj, do they allow that? I thought you said no to that. Raj is right here. He's shaking his head.
Stop.
Just because of the coronavirus and the pandemic. And I mean, you got to still follow the rules.
Oh my gosh.
You don't even have a lid on it.
I liked you better at home. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I know you're not.
I got to look over there and everything. Oh,
you're not ready for
gosh.
It. I'm telling you, you're gonna be glad when I'm back at home.
That is hilarious. So you get your hair cut right over here?
Yeah, right over here.
Did you get it cut at Tribute?
No, just right close around here.
Okay.
And so I was able to go. I picked up my lunch and then I got me a coffee for the first time in a while.
Is that why you were emphasizing pizza?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
So I owed Zach lunch. You know, I like to pay my debts. I'm like, oh, some people are out there never pay their debts. But anyway, so I wanted to pay my debt today, and I was going to be here. So I said, you know what? Let me do lunch today. It'd be perfect. They had a nice menu on our app that we have. a nice selection of different places, it convenient, easy. Those places were sold out quickly.
Right.
And the places that we really liked.
Yep.
So I sent the text to you and Steve and say, hey, where are the other options? I can just do pizza. And given our situation with the elevator and you have to have a key card, that wasn't going to work. So we found another place on the app.
We did. Man, so it is good to see you, dog.
It's great to see you.
And you just got your haircut. I am cutting all this off tomorrow at 11:30.
Oh, yeah? It's all gone?
It's all going by. Never
what
to be
do you
grown
mean,
back
all?
Again.
You're going bald?
Shaving
it down?
Eventually.
You've been talking about this for a while.
Eventually I am, but it'll just get cut real short and see how I like it and, you know, figure it out from there. But I got to tell you, this is strange having you back here.
It's different. You know, I haven't had these headphones on working. Now, when I took my plane trip or whatever, I had them on.
Yeah.
But haven't had them on and been in the studio with a microphone in front of me. And, I mean, it's been so long.
You gotta like keep your clothes on here and
everything. I know I can't walk around in my underwear, so you know it's a little bit different. But you know, it just takes some time to get used to it.
So are you dipping your toes back in the waters? Are you considering coming back in here?
No, one of one. I'm back at the house on Monday.
Okay.
So I'll be back there.
All right.
But it's good to be back. I mean, it just worked out that way for now. But we'll see.
All right. So you're getting us lunch today, me and Steven. That'll cross that off. I know I owe you a couple things.
Mm-hmm. A few things.
Which we'll definitely get to. I'm loving that Starbucks is back open. I'm able to go there before our show now. So that gives me a semblance of normalcy.
I went today and I wasn't sure if they were open or not, because I haven't been going other than, you know, in the grocery store they're open, but I didn't know if these other stores are open, especially ones that don't have drive-thrus.
Right. So,
that's the one I go to, right there off Arapahoe. It doesn't have a drive-thru. So I'm like, gosh, I hope it's open. Please be open. Boom. They were open. Great.
You got to like enter one way, leave.
Yeah,
the next
it's
way.
Great setup. It's perfect. Have your mask on. Boom, 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 bam, bam, bam. Coffee. Boom. Out. Awesome.
Yep.
Love it.
Perfect. So shout out to those guys and, you know, getting back to some semblance of normal, hopefully a big step in that direction today with Major League Baseball teams reporting back for the first time. It is finally here. It's come to fruition. Baseball is taking that first, big step, for their 2020 season. They're calling it spring training 2.0 or summer camp. So that's great news, that we're going to have baseball soon.
Where is this at? Is it at their stadiums? Do you know the process at all? How long they're going to be doing this for? I'm assuming that they just do it at their stadium.
So I know we're supposed to get kicked off here with actually games in about 3 weeks, about 23 days from now. So I know that the target date for games to return. I don't know where these guys are at. So full disclosure, I don't know right now. I believe.
What would you think?
I would think they'd be right here.
Probably. Yeah,
I think they're right here.
They're either here or at the spring training facility.
Yeah. And you know what? You know, I'm jogging my memory. They're here.
Yeah.
Because.
Gotta be, right?
They're going to be working out at Coors Field. And I think their like B roster is going to be working out at Stevens alma mater at Metro. I believe they're using the field at Metro. So, so we're getting back. Hopefully there's no major hiccups. We need sports back. I'm here. I got invested interest in this Italian A-League soccer game that's on here in our American Financing Studio.
What do you mean invested interest?
Like, I need the team in red, Bologna. I don't even know if I'm saying their name right.
Bologna.
I need them to beat the Cagliglia or whoever they're playing there.
Oh, you do?
I need it.
Oh, you need it. Need it to start off the good weekend. Okay. Okay. I follow you.
I need to get pushed into the weekend and then ride Kevin Harvick to the finish line.
Okay. So we've got interest in the Bologna team.
Bologna, I think that's who they are.
Yes.
But,
BOL team.
Yeah, there we go. So, but this is good news. But unfortunately, you know, we go one step forward with that and one big step backward with yesterday minor league baseball officially canceling their season. So in my hometown, the Tri-City Valley Cats back in the upstate New York area, you know, just poof, gone. You know, all these lower leagues gone. And, you know, that hurts. You and I have talked a little bit about this. That stings. So there's good news and bad news, you know, yesterday and today. We got the big guys coming back. But all the lower tiers of baseball that are smaller communities love, and that really get supported. I mean, James Merrillat and I had a big go back and forth about this, but there are a lot of communities like Grand Junction, like Albuquerque, like Albany, New York, that Hartford with the Yard Goats, that really love their minor league teams, and they're not going to have that. So that's
a bummer. I think, you know, like you said, we've talked about it. We kind of saw this coming and the writing on the wall there when it comes to the minor league teams. But it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, just like it is for a lot of businesses in this country right now and a lot of people in this country right now. And but it's a big bummer for all those individuals and all those cities and people that count on minor league baseball and that love to go to it. Like you said, they're in small towns and like you know, yours. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that stinks. It's a bummer.
But we are moving in the direction with the Major League Major League Baseball. There's also, and I wanted to bounce this off of you, because it's already been highly criticized. What did you make of the suggestion, when we're talking about NFL football, what did you make of the suggestion that teams could fly in and fly out on the same day of games? Did you see that and sort of the stir that caused yesterday? You were in that league for 15 years. How would that work?
You know what? I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
But I just was looking on our rundown. You got a rundown, right? Looking at it.
Unbelievable.
I actually pulled it up on my phone.
Okay.
Okay, which I have.
Wait. You know how to pull up the rundown on your phone?
Yep. I can pull it up on my phone. And,
I'm impressed.
Every now and then I actually do it.
I'm impressed.
And I look at it, and I did see that. And I said, that's interesting. Flying back and forth on the same day, that's difficult, man. That is so, so difficult. And that, I think, all of a sudden, you know, you want to say for a home team, you get 2.5, 3 points. I think it's got to go up. You know, automatically you say, hey, Vegas says, you know, the away team is automatically like a 2.5, 3 point underdog, just right off the bat because they're come flying in, they're the visitors. I think in this instance, it would go up even higher. I think it makes it more difficult for away teams. I think the advantage for home teams is more if they're going to operate like that than what it used to be, because that's you see Orlando, big dude, right?
Yeah.
Planes. I mean, now Patriots have nice hookup because they have their own plane and it's big, but most of these planes, look, the seats are not very big. Now you're not sitting three per row. I mean, there's nobody in the middle. Usually it's you, middle's open, somebody else.
Sure.
Right? That's how you do the three seats.
Sure.
And it's fine, but a big guy, that's uncomfortable. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're out of the plane and you're going right to the stadium and you're playing a game. That's tough to do. I just think that would be really, really difficult.
On an NFL plane, gosh, I've never asked you about this before. On an NFL plane, is there assigned seating?
I've been to places that have had that before.
Okay.
And it's just kind of, you know, you sit where you want for the most part, and you kind of have, hey, this is where the card players sit. You know, you if you're welcomed into that group, you can come sit back there and hang out. If not, then
and that's like more like tenured players.
Yeah, just whoever the card guys are.
Okay.
And you know, especially when I was with the Colts. We had a great group of guys, and every year was just kind of different, but we owned the back of the plane. You know, we owned the back of the plane. That's where we were.
That was like the back of the bus.
Yes, that's right.
Sure.
And then new guys would come, you know, hey, you know, you play cards during training camp and stuff, and then they would be welcome to the back of the plane to play cards with you. So most places, no. And then the cool thing, when I was in Baltimore, you actually got to sit in the veteran guys got to sit in the first class seats.
The veteran guys got to sit in the first class seats.
Yeah, they had a certain amount of veteran guys that would get to sit in the first class seats. And I think some people do it if you win. You know, the coaches will go in the back and the more tenured guys will get to sit in the first class seats, things like that. And,
sure.
Which is kind of cool, which was different for me because every other time we've just been kind of, you know, in the coach section, which is fine. And sometimes I like that better because – like in Baltimore, you're sitting in first class, but then you look over and there's, you know, Ozzie and Harbaugh. It's like, goodness, I want to cut up a little bit and have some fun here.
Right.
And you got, you know, supervision over there.
And exit rows, how are exit row seats decided? Do those go to veteran players or big?
Usually more tenured players there. You know, rookies aren't going to jump in those. And usually the bigger guys, a guy like me, I really don't care for it doesn't matter to me. So, but the bigger guys, I think they like those seats, obviously.
Sure.
And those are the guys that should be sitting there. So that's kind of, it's more tenured guys and guys that have been on there. Hey, this is where, you know, the linemen sit right here. And they were there last year. That's where those guys are going to sit this year. So it's kind of tenured and just whatever you did the last year, you know, you just kind of continue it.
Well, I saw Brandon McManus sort of shoot this idea down that like this is too much, but I didn't even think about like the disadvantage of stepping off an airplane. Like I think we've all been on a flight that's, you know, 3 or 4 hours long, you know, sometimes longer, and you step off that flight, you're sort of wobbly. You don't have that that balance or connectivity that you would just wake up with. And then to go play a football game 4 hours after that, I'm not saying it'd be detrimental, like you can't go on the road and win that way, but I didn't think about it that way.
How about this? I mean, how about if you're coming from East Coast to West Coast and you're playing, the 2 o'clock game or the 4 o'clock East Coast game? I mean, what time are you going to have to leave to get there? Or if you're going from, you know, West to East and you're playing an 11 o'clock game. Those guys are playing the early game over there. What time would the Broncos have to leave to go play the Jets?
I mean, that'd be impossible. It would be impossible. You'd be leaving at the crack of dawn.
Right. I mean, you're leaving at midnight because you got to get to the field a couple hours before the game, at least 2 hours before the game to get going. So I don't, you know, I like the outside the thinking there because, you know, you start getting to the point where you're saying, hey, we want to try to bubble this thing as much as possible. You take the hotel out of the equation, right?
Right, right.
Let's take that out of the equation and maybe that will help us all stay healthy. I got it. But at the same time, I just don't know if it's feasible.
I just got a DM from Sue, and I hope I'm saying her last name right, Susie Wargen. Wargen, she's
Susie's great.
Yeah, and I met her here, yeah, and we Susie's follow each other great. On Twitter. She seems great. She said media slugs on Broncos flights are assigned seats. First class seats last season was just coaches and staff.
Okay, yep. Yeah, usually the media, all the trainers and all that, they kind of, you know, assign you your seats. Players just kind of go wherever they want for the most part. Some places I've been, they kind of will try to assign you seats, but like, who's going to come back there and tell, you know, Peyton Manning he had to sit in this seat?
Right. Or
Dwight
right.
Freeney had Von Miller. Nope. You can't move up one seat, buddy. Nope. Sorry. You are supposed to be 22D.
Yeah. Right.
Not 21D. So it's a little bit, ridiculous, but yeah, usually the coaches and those front office people sit first class, and like Susie said, media and every media has those assigned seats. Players just kind of go wherever they want.
And how does it work with after a game with, you know, guys after a game, long flight home, want to have a couple cold pops? Is that go team by team? Is it only after a victory?
No, they just have ice chest on the plane for you. Just take them out and just start.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, I wasn't sure. I don't know.
No, I mean, well, you think about it from a legality standpoint. Okay, just think about that. All of a sudden, somebody has too much to, and it's happened. You know, if it was available, and it used to be available. You know, some teams would make it available to you. So you just gotta think outside the box.
Gotcha.
Let's just put it that way.
Gotcha.
Think outside the box.
Used to travel with Division I programs, right? Football, basketball, lacrosse, and same sort of thing. You just figure it out. Figure it out. Cool.
Guys are very ingenious. Is that right? when it comes to things like that.
Gatorade bottle, imagination.
Yeah.
You figure it out.
Right.
Do you remember a couple years ago when I got into it with the Rockies Twitter account because they lost like 7-8 in a row and they were like tweeting out the meal.
Oh, the meal. Yes. The meal pictures.
Like, would you rather have the ribeye or the bacon cheeseburger? And I'm like, I'd rather have a Rockies win.
How about a W?
How about a win and then we can, you know.
Let me eat one of these W's like Jameis.
Eat the W,
baby.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. We're going to be off for the next 2 days, as I made you aware this morning because you don't check your email.
Wasn't sure. I was like, goodness, we're off Thursday too? Yeah,
he texts me and Steve goes, are we off Friday? I'm like, dude, we're off tomorrow and Friday.
Wow.
Hashtag check your email.
Yes. I couldn't believe that. 2 days off. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll take them.
So we're going to have some fun today. Sort of get loosey-goosey. So you can participate with the show, 303-713-1043. And you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. Mile High Memories, the podcast presented.
I want to just real quick yeah, on the plane thing flying in day of. I mean, do you think there's any way that could happen? Just real quick. I didn't really get your take on it. I heard you say what Mamana said, but.
Man, I think if it was close enough, and I don't have the schedule here in front of me, I think if it was close enough, you could pull it off. But that trip to New York, that trip to New England, and Colorado, like where the Broncos are, there's not like a ton of teams right here in the Mountain right. Time Zone. So for the Broncos specifically, I don't think it would make a lot of sense. You think of some of the away games this year, like New York, like Pittsburgh, like New England. I guess Atlanta, maybe a little.
Think about Tampa Bay coming here. That's just one that comes to mind. Would be a long flight for Tampa Bay, right? I'm sure it's a 2 o'clock game.
Yeah, it's a 2:25.
2:25 game. What time would they have to leave Tampa to get here and get to the stadium? Okay, at least at 3 hours before the game is when you'd want, you know, they always have two different buses. The one that would get you there 3 hours, one that would get you there 2 hours. So, but as a full team, you'd want to get there 3 hours before the game. So you'd want to get there at 11:25.
Yep.
What time would Tampa have to leave Tampa?
Well, they'd gain 2 hours flying here, from the east. But even then, I don't even like this plan because what happens when you go to fly? What are you checking? You're checking the weather. You know, how often I bet just in the last year or two, flights that you've been on have been delayed. I know they've been delayed for me. You throw that variable into the mix with leaving right. day of. You have a nationally televised game that's supposed to go off on Fox here. Two NFL teams.
Oh, the plane's engine.
And a thunderstorm or the plane's engine or something. It's just too much at play. Yeah. I just think it'd be an impossibility.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem realistic, especially for the Broncos. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can do that at all. You just can't pull it off.
Mile High Memories presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. For episode 9, you guys voted on our Twitter handle to hear about the 1990 CU bus. I can't wait to listen to this one. It'll drop this weekend wherever you download your podcast, or you can check it out very, very easily at 1043thefan.com. So that'll be great. Been talking about how great these have been. I encourage you guys to definitely check it out. All right. CBS Sports. Stoke, they put together their list of the 10 best NFL offseasons. Were the Broncos on that list? Take a dive into it next. Massive story. Massive breaking news right now. Massive story breaking right now.
I like being in studio, Zach, and I want to hear that news real quick because a few times, not all the time, but a few times I'm a little bit late coming back down.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like I never know sometimes how long the breaks are, and all of a sudden I run down and I hear you talking. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what have I missed? What have I missed? But at least in here, when I'm in studio, it's hard for me to, you know, be late to the segment.
Right.
Like it is in my basement.
Nope, it is so good to have you in here. And if you missed the beginning of our show, Stoke was in the neighborhood and surprised me here in the studio. We have not been in the same studio in months. If we could just use March 15th, we go March, what's after March? January, February, March, April, May, June. So it's been 3.5 months since we were in here doing it. It feels like 6 months.
Yeah, it feels a long time, a lot longer than 3.5 months, that's for sure.
The massive breaking news, you know, the app Cameo, where you can have celebrities, send you a message. You have to pay them and then they'll send you a message. So I think it was Valentine's Day or my wife's birthday or something. I had Joe Giudice from The Real Housewives sent my wife a message from Italy in his deported location.
You know what? I got one for my birthday.
Did you?
Bearcat Jim. He knew that I was a big Red Sox fan. Freddie Lynn. Fred Lynn. You know, great Red Sox player. So that was really, really cool of him.
What was his era, Freddie Lynn?
This probably, you know, 80s.
Okay.
80s.
Okay.
Yeah, 80s.
I was going to say, because it didn't ring a bell with me. I started getting into baseball in the 90s. But 80s. The Red Sox
late
in the
70s,
90s.
late 70s, 80s, and, you know, he's an all-time great Red Sox player, and it was really cool. He was like, you know, he just mentioned a lot of cool things. He said, hey, I know you're doing radio now, you and Zach. I got to let you see it.
Oh, you have to let me see
it. It was really cool, really nice. But I got one of those, speaking of, you know, what you're talking about, and that was really cool. They are cool and unique when you get it from somebody like, you know, just say,
yeah,
like you said, I mean, anybody you want, really, but Fred Lynn. That was really a cool gesture from Bearcat, and I thought it was cool. It, like, made my morning to start off like, oh, Fred Lynn's giving me a shout-out. That's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. That's pretty cool. You want to know who was my favorite Red Sox growing up? It was Mike Greenwell.
Okay.
You remember Mike Greenwell? He played for like 10 years.
I do.
He was never like some MVP, but he was a rock-solid player.
Was he a lefty?
I
want to say he was a lefty.
Yes, he was. He batted left and threw right.
Yeah. Yep.
Good memory, dude.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I collected baseball cards, so, you know, that was my heyday. And, of course, that's like the worst time to collect baseball cards because they're all worthless. All those are worthless. Now, if you collected them in the 70s or 60s, you know, now you got something. 80s baseball cards, you can put some gasoline on them and light them with a match. You know, Ken Griffey Jr.'s Upper Deck rookie card. I mean, those things were supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I
collected them, too. I mean, do kids still collect cards?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, huge market because they have specialty cards now with jersey patches and the autograph cards and things like that.
One. I had a Rasheed Wallace that had a piece of his Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
I used to have these binders.
You might as well throw it in the trash.
We'd have these binders and binders, big binders, and they had the clear pages where you could slide the cards there.
Yeah.
And we used to love that. My other favorite Red Sox in the 90s was Mo Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Mo Vaughn send
love
one.
Love his swing.
Oh,
love
like,
his swing.
It was like
hunched over.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It just like lefty. Oh, gosh, what a swing.
Yep. I was a big fan. But I brought up Cameo because Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue.
How about that?
Tiger King fame is on Cameo. She's $150. And I literally may take $150 out of my pocket and have Carol Baskin send a shout out to our show.
Wow.
Carol Baskin showing love to Stokely and Zach.
I would pitch in. Normally, I would say, hey, I'm in for half for sure, but I don't know if I want to contribute any money to her.
Right.
That's kind of where I draw the line, right? Because I don't like her.
Stoke, listen to her bio. You can't make this up. She already has a 5-star rating, by the way. She says, you know me as Tiger King, Joe Exotic's intended murder victim.
Wow.
That's the way she starts her bio. I'm the intended murder victim of Joe Exotic. Oh, my
I don't
gosh.
Want to give her any money.
I know, off principle, but my morals are loose.
Right.
So I can put some money in Carol's pocket if it means giving us glory as a show. Oh, my goodness. And look at Bologna up. I love it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right when you said that. Right when you said that, the team scored.
Are you kidding me? All right. Okay, CBS Sports put together the 10 best off seasons in the National Football League. When I say 10 best off seasons, would you think that the Broncos would be a part of that?
10 best off seasons, would the Broncos be a part of that? Got caught up in that replay. I wasn't sure if the guy was offsides or not there for Calgary.
Are they Calgary?
Looked like he was offsides, but the ref didn't call it. The side judge over there.
Are they
it.
Taking an extra look at it?
Maybe the sky judge. Somebody might come out there, Buffalo Bills, Houston Texans style, and talk to this referee here.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see if the red card comes out. Maybe the yellow. We'll just have to follow it. But looks like the goal is going to stand.
And someone did say a gambling addiction. Addiction is sad, not funny on the text line. I'm like, dude, it's $10. Just we're having fun with it. I'm not trying to put a bad message out there.
R-E-L-A-X.
Hey, relax.
I would say, so we're talking about draft, free agency.
Yep, the whole
offseason.
The Broncos have one of the 10 best offseasons when looked at it totally objectively.
Right. I would say absolutely yes.
Okay. They've done a lot. They have done a lot.
Well, what's the answer? Did they put it? Are they on there?
Number
no. Try again.
What?
The according to CBS Sports, the number one offseason in the National Football League was Tampa Bay.
Yep.
They brought back JPP. They brought back Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, right? Got tagged. Really rooting for him. They bring in Tom Brady. They bring in Gronk. They drafted Tristan Wirfs. Okay. Then the second best offseason, according to CBS Sports, the Arizona Cardinals. They, you know, got DeAndre Hopkins. They ship out David Johnson. The third best is the Baltimore Ravens. They did a lot too. Patrick Queen, you know, what could he look like in that defense? The fourth best offseason.
Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe.
Yep. Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe. That's going to be a problem up front. San Francisco 49ers are the fourth. They re-signed Eric Armstead. They draft Javon Kinlaw. I mean, what could he look like in that defense?
Traded Buckner for a first-round pick.
Yep. They drafted the Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver.
Out of Arizona State.
Which I think they said they thought he was the best in the draft. I think Kyle said that.
Yeah. But that's what you would expect him to say.
True.
Like, hey, he was our favorite.
Right. The Cleveland Browns, number five. They traded for Andy Janovich, right? So no 22 Janos anymore. They did some other stuff there.
The Browns, what else did they do?
They spent a lot of money on Austin Hooper.
Yeah.
The tight end from Atlanta.
Overpaid Austin Hooper's kind of
He might be
saying.
A little bit overrated, yeah. for the vein that he was being talked
we
about.
We see eye to eye with him. I'm not sold on Austin Hooper as a top flight tight end.
Jack Conklin, the right tackle.
Oh, that's right.
They spent a lot of money on him.
Yep. Okay.
They're on the list. The New York Jets are on the list. They drafted Mekhi Becton, who slipped a little bit. Connor McGovern is with them now. He got overpaid. I think I can say that fairly. He got paid quite handsomely. The Raiders are the seventh on the list. So now you have other teams. This is again according to CBS Sports. The 10 best off seasons in the league. The Raiders are number 7 on this list. We still have not got to the Broncos.
What do the Raiders do again? I'm trying to just. I know they drafted Henry Ruggs, but
they drafted Henry Ruggs. They signed Corey Littleton,
the linebacker.
The other linebacker, Nick Kwiatkowski.
From Cleveland?
His name.
Or Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Okay.
Yep, he was highly touted there. What else there? I forget
okay,
all, the,
that's good.
All the nuts. Then you get to the Saints at number 8.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Yep. Teddy Bridgewater gone. Jameis Winston coming in. Emmanuel Sanders. We both really like that one. So then they get to the Chargers. So now that's the second team, according to CBS Sports, that has the 10 best off seasons in the league. The Raiders and the Chargers coming in at 7-9. The Chargers, what did they do? They brought back Austin Eckler.
Hunter Henry.
They brought back Hunter Henry. Adding Chris Harris Jr. So a lot of Bronco flavor in some of these here. They drafted. Was it Kenneth Murray, right? The linebacker from Oklahoma.
Yeah, they had two first round picks because they jumped back in and got Kenneth Murray, I believe. So they
good call.
Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. That's right. The quarterback out of Oregon. They signed an offensive tackle as well, and then they get to the final 10th spot for the 10 best off seasons according to CBS Sports. It's the Indianapolis Colts. The Broncos not on the list of the top 10 off seasons. Did they get it wrong? Did CBS Sports get it wrong, considering all that the Broncos did?
Yeah, I believe they did. I believe that the Broncos should be in there. I just look at their draft, and I think their draft was great. Now, obviously, you can't put a lot of stock into it right now because you really don't know what these guys are going to look like. But, you know, you look around the league, you look at the grades the Broncos draft got from a lot of draft analysts, it's been positive.
Yeah, like A's and B's.
And they addressed areas of need, concern, upgraded talent around Drew Locke. You bring in Melvin Gordon, who only helped that room. Glasgow at guard. I think, you know, they did overpay for him, but it's a position of need, and he's going to be better than what we had last year. So, trying to think of what brought back Shelby Harris on a team-friendly deal. Look, they just, I thought they had a really, really good offseason in getting needs and getting really good football players that are going to be impact players. You needed center. We've lost a center the last 2 years. Got one in the third round. One of the best in you know, coming out in the draft. We got him in the third round. Yep. This guy's been a 3-year starter at LSU.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think I look at it and say I think the Broncos had a really, really good offseason. They should definitely be top 10. What are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. I mean, this was a losing football team that I think has put real pieces in place to be competitive with, ideally, every single team in the league.
One more thing real quick, just to throw it in there, Justin Simmons.
There you go.
Yeah, that's an offseason addition because they're keeping him on the tag.
Yep. So, and a lot of these other, you know, the reasoning for the CBS Sports 10 best off seasons, a lot of it was about, you know, who are you retaining? And Justin Simmons is a big part of that. Nikki Jabala of The Athletic, for the moment, before she joins, the Washington Post. Nikki, when we talk about the 10 best off seasons in the National Football League, we're just reacting to this piece that CBS Sports put out. The Broncos were not among their 10 best off seasons. The Raiders were, the Chargers were, Denver was left off that list. Do you think they got it wrong considering all that John Elway did?
I have to go through and look at who had the best. I mean, certainly Tampa had the best in my mind. Did they get it wrong? I think to some degree. I think the Broncos had a really strong offseason on paper. I'm still a little concerned about the tackle situation, which, you know, you hope that doesn't come back to haunt them this season. If Garrett Bowles struggles or if Elijah Wilkinson isn't able to really solidify that position there, if they don't bring in somebody else. Overall, I think it was a very good off season on paper for what they needed and who they got to fill their major needs on the roster. You know, those are always hard for me because I've always been in the mind that you really don't know how a draft class or an off season really pans out until, you know, at least 3 years down the road. But for the sake of this argument, I would say I would put them in the top 10, I guess.
Nikki,
it's not the strongest answer, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they should definitely be top 10. I like what they've done, but yeah, we'll look back and see. I guess and be able to really give an answer here in a year or so when you really see what these additions are going to actually do on the field. Looking at starting of training camp coming up, Nikki, what do you think they're going to have? They're going to start on time. Do you think the media members are going to be out there? What are your thoughts on training camp upcoming at the end of this month?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure even the league knows right now. You know, I've reached out to a couple people, and you know, teams still haven't heard on the protocol for players, media, especially. From a media perspective, I've heard the idea of having a pool reporter, so you have one reporter out there watching practice and talking to select people and reporting back to the other reporters, so they have the information they need. I've heard that maybe they might have access at practice because you can spread out, but obviously no locker room. You know, I've kind of operated under the mind that we will be remote for most of, if not the entirety of this season, including training camp. And that's going to be difficult for media. It's going to be difficult for fans because you won't get the same sort of reports and details from the locker room and players that you would normally get. But it's just kind of the way it is. I don't know how they're going to do it with the roster sizes right now. And given the fact that the NFL is a contact sport, you know, you can socially distance as much as you want, but you can't do that on the field. And how do you keep those players safe as a result? You know, we've seen players opt out for the NBA and Major League Baseball, but, you know, those are kind of like special circumstances for those leagues because they're trying to salvage a season and create a makeshift postseason. whereas the NFL is trying to operate as scheduled. And their contracts are not guaranteed in the NFL. So are these guys really going to opt out if they don't feel it's safe for them? I would imagine they don't. So there's a lot on the line here for the teams, for the players, for media, for fans too. You know, a lot of season ticket holders might get refunded. Some might be allowed in the stadium. We just don't know yet. I didn't think at this point there would be this much uncertainty, but you know, it feels like there's been a resurgence in COVID-19 cases recently. So, you know, the optimism we had even a few weeks ago has kind of waned.
Yeah, and you kind of speak for the three of us, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Doubt certainly creeping back in, even if we get started, will we be able to finish the season, which is an entirely different conversation than getting it off the ground in the first place. So, you know, I'm choosing to be optimistic at this point. I know that there's a lot to lose financially with all the sports, mm-hmm. but especially the National Football League. Maybe king among them all, in terms of things to lose. So, you know, we just don't know. And that's a hard thing to say, you know, because we're used to, you know, having a take, and to have a firm stance on this one, it's like building a house on sand. We just don't right. know. We just don't know what it's going to look like. But on the way out here, is this the last time you're going to be joining us? You're leaving town here, right? Going to the Washington Post. When do you actually leave?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at the 20th. So yeah, I think this is the last time. Oh, I'm going to get teary-eyed.
Yeah, well, I'll say that you have been joining this program for a long time. And we're going to miss you. I know you're still going to be a contact for us. We're still going to remain friends and have a relationship off the air, but certainly not going to be joined by you as regularly, weekly, as you have here for a couple years. So we just wish you, as a show, as a fan base, as readers of your work, whether it's for the Denver Post or from The Athletic, the very, 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 very best of luck. You are a true pro, which I think is the highest compliment that you can have in this business. You are a true pro, and Denver will in fact miss you, Nikki. So,
well, thank you. The feeling's mutual, and that really means a lot. It's been an amazing 6 years in Denver. I loved every moment on the beat of living out here, and I fully expect to be back here eventually. This is home for me and my family now. So I loved coming on the show. I'm going to miss our conversations on air. But you guys know how to reach me. If you need anything Redskins related, I'm your gal.
Yeah,
perfect. Well,
no,
Nikki, thanks so much. We appreciate you, and you know, I second everything Zach said, and we'll be following your work. You do such great work. Best of luck out there, and I'm sure we'll be crossing paths, like you said, in the not so distant future. So thanks for everything. Your work is great, and we'll continue to read it and love it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, there she goes, Nikki Jabala. End of an era here. She's done such a great job for years, and especially that the Broncos ownership. It's not going to be the same, and hopefully someone can step up and fill that void, even to a 75% degree that she filled it. All right, do we have more evidence that we're going to see a different Garrett Bowles in 2020? Maybe so. Details next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.